All right, before we talk to Chris Phillips, who will be joining us momentarily, the Super Regional game times have officially been announced. The 6-seed Texas Longhorns will be taking on the 11-seed Oregon Ducks. We've known that now for a couple of days. Both teams swept their way through their respective regionals. It'll be a Saturday through Monday best of three. So game one at UFCU Dish Falk Field, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central
nice
time.
Nice game, very nice.
Nationally televised on ESPN. Yep, that helps with the weather. Game two, Sunday night, about 8 o'clock Central time first pitch, also on ESPN. So a later night game. And then if necessary, game three will be on Monday. They have not announced a time for that one just yet. So 4 series start Friday and go Friday to Sunday. 4 start on Saturday and go Saturday to Monday. Texas in the latter half.
And so now that after that, the 8 teams head off to Oklahoma City?
That's right. We're in the Sweet 16 for college baseball. 2 of 3 series in these supers, and the 8 winners will advance to Omaha for the College World Series.
I don't mind that Saturday night.
Well, Saturday night action? Oh, man. I mean, look, the Texas fans were going to show out regardless of
if it's Saturday night. You like those Saturday night games.
You
go to the lake and then head out.
Yeah. Not having to be in the,
sun.
Early June sun here in Central Texas. That is a damn good thing. So we are very happy about that. Joining us now to talk all things college baseball, and we'll also get into a little SEC football conversation as well, it's our guy Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered. CP, what's going on, my man?
Guys, what's going on? Doing well. Love the digs you guys have today. This is nice.
Oh, yeah, man.
We're in the world.
Yeah, man. BK needs a round of golf. He needs to do the show, and then he needs to play.
Come to Nashville, man. I got you. Hey, if you're going to go to Omaha, I think I'm going to bring the sticks, actually. So,
wow.
I'm to a point. I can't put them away for that long. Buck, I got to have
you, Chris.
That's great. Yeah, you're like the Buck. I mean, the Buck plays at least one round a week, and I'm trying to get into it. And that offer goes both ways, CP. Next time you're in Austin, hit us
absolutely
up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of my goals in 2026, in all seriousness, was play more golf. So I ended up joining somewhere in Nashville. So, yeah, I've been getting after it. So I'm actually playing in a charity tournament tomorrow. So, yeah.
Wow. How about that? Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you on the Corn Ferry tour.
Hey, listen, we're just freeloaders. We're freeloaders that do our shows at places so we can play for nothing. Yeah, You're a country club member now. Yeah,
that'll be my next venture. Hey, by the way, before we get going, really shameless plug, real quick.
Go ahead, buddy.
I was fortunate enough to be a credential media member yesterday at the Rockin' Jock celebrity softball game, where they have obviously tons of celebs and former athletes, tons of musicians, as you can imagine, come out, go to the Sound Stadium. It's for a great cause, for charity, what have you. The reason I bring this up, we get a 30-minute media session with the players before the game. One of the players in one of the interviews I got, Roger Clemens. So Texas fans, keep an eye out. We definitely talked Longhorns. And me as a baseball guy, that was kind of a surreal experience getting to talk to the Rocket. So, yeah, just shameless plug there. I think I'm going to probably drop that today. But there's a big Texas flavor. I think he said he's going to go to Omaha if and when Texas makes it. So that's what he told me, at least. I was like, you got to be there, man.
He's a fabulous guy to interview. He's just kind of down to earth, just a regular guy. Just sitting at the bar talking to somebody.
Yeah, dude, he's still a tank.
Oh, yeah.
His legs are like tree trunks. I'm like, you are still – he's in his early 60s. So, and he's still – I mean, he still looks like he could go – I think he could go out there and still pitch a single-A game and shove, really, truly.
Wow.
Texas maybe will ask him to come out of the bullpen in this NCAA tournament at some point. Yeah, we had the chance to talk to Rocky last year. I mean, right. He still looks like he could go out there and give you a couple of innings. Well, Chris, what a wild opening weekend of NCAA postseason baseball. We'll start with Texas, and then we'll go around the conference and then around the country and get your thoughts on all of the craziness that went down. The Longhorns making pretty quick work of the Austin Regional, right? I mean, 2 blowout wins on Friday and Saturday. Close one on Sunday against Santa Barbara, but ultimately Texas gets the sweep and they are moving on. Your biggest takeaways from what you saw from the Horns down here in Austin?
Well, certainly I don't think you can take it for granted. There was a lot of conversation leading into the weekend, I should say, that the Austin Regional was one of the more manageable regionals. But, you know, we saw there were a lot of things that we thought going into regional weekend that didn't play out how we thought it would, right? I was on another Texas show last week talking about I didn't think Oklahoma had a chance, and sure enough, they come out of Atlanta and win the Georgia Tech regional. So there was a lot of Milwaukee takes Auburn to a final game. UCLA goes down. Like, it's just expect the unexpected in college baseball. So I think it feels more and more like a survive and advance tournament than anything. So you got to credit Texas for making pretty easy work what felt like, especially the first two games. And I thought it was the pitching. I mean, obviously the offense came alive and did their thing. You got like Aiden Robbins was big all weekend, but I was really encouraged by what I saw from Ruger Riojas in the final game. And I thought the pitching staff as a whole just really handled their business. You know, again, it was, if you're going to say it's a manageable regional, you go out there and take care of your business. And we've talked all season long, I think this team is as complete as any, and I really think they showed that. So step one complete. It's always big too when you win your regional after what happened last year. You know, you kind of get that monkey off your back, if you will. And while the job's not done, it feels good, I'm sure, for Schloss and the boys to not have to hear about that, at least for a while.
Yeah, I mean, because they were going to be hearing about the strategy. Was it right for the SEC, what you did in that tournament? Was the strategy the right strategy to use? So far, so good. I mean, that's all I can say, you know. And it's not so much of what you did pitching-wise. It's the entirety of your team. I mean, your team came out swinging the bats and hitting guys. They had nice weekends. So that part of it is, it's not just about your pitching and who you choose to put on the mound. It's the other guys. That counts, too, your offense and what you do offensively. They did a great job offensively.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, a guy like Anthony Pack, man, he's so much fun to watch. Yes. That dude is a monster. Carson Tenney, obviously, as well. There's so many different guys in that lineup. But, yeah, I know Anthony Pack Jr. is becoming, or I'm sure already become, a fan favorite. He had a big weekend. But, yeah, you bring up the interesting point, too, is that the pitching off, which I think everybody knows at this point what that means, saving your ace, essentially. Mm-hmm. It was kind of unfortunate. I mean, it just played out how it did that we didn't get the Volantis Flora showdown because UC Santa Barbara decided to pitch off and they got beat. So
yep.
It was kind of interesting to see that across the country. There were a lot of teams that tried the strategy, and it certainly is one of those things that, we're used to seeing, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon, but sometimes it works out and, you know, sometimes it backfires on you, you know, so. Obviously, it backfired on UCSB, and by the time they got around to Texas, the horns were rolling, and it was too late.
Yeah, yep. Not that unfortunate for Texas. I'm okay.
Not that unfortunate at all, no.
Having
no.
to see the Volantis Flora matchup. I enjoyed playing Tarleton State on Saturday in that 1-0 game. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. CP, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here. I'm sure you guys will have super regional previews coming up throughout the course of the week, but any early thoughts on this Oregon team and this Oregon matchup? The Ducks, the 11 seed, they swept through the Eugene Regional. Now they finished second place in the Big Ten in the regular season. They finished second place in the Big Ten tournament as well. It's a good team, again, that took care of their business this past weekend. Your kind of thoughts on this matchup, and how do you like Texas's odds to get back to Omaha here?
Yeah, I think it's got the opportunity to be one of the more fun supers that we see. I saw the schedule this morning, and we'll be live Thursday giving our predictions and locking it all in, breaking it down more in depth. But, yeah, I mean, this Oregon team's been really good. I mean, they hit 285 as a team this year, and the pitching staff's really solid with an ERA under 4. So, I think Texas is the favorite. I mean, guys, there's a reason I've said all season long that, you know, it'd be a shame if this team did not end up in Omaha. We're at the point in the season, right, where anything can happen. I mean, if you're one of the 16 teams left, you deserve to be there. You've played really good baseball to a point. You're a really good team to a point where any of these teams are deserving to go. Obviously, being in Austin, like you mentioned, I would expect a great crowd. I would expect the dish to be jumping. That's obviously a huge advantage anytime you have that. And, there'll be no pitching off this weekend. Dylan Volantis is going to get the ball game one unless there's something that Schloss and Max Wiener know that I don't. So, anytime you have that guy on the bump leading it off and you let the rest of your rotation, you know, take it away. And then I think with the offense heating up, you feel really good too about Texas's odds, but certainly Oregon is a quality club. They've been knocking on the door the last couple of years, right? They've been right there on the verge. They're well coached. So it should be a fun super. Maybe we get a Monday finish, but you know, right now, gun to head with no research done or just very little bit of research done, I'm still definitely going to lean horns and take Texas. But, you know, it is that time of year where it feels kind of flip a coin like when you're 51-49, right? You can be very unsure in these, but yeah, I definitely lean Texas going into it.
Chris, a football question. SEC, the meetings down in Florida, things seem to simmer down a little bit towards the end of the week. Not much said. Guys kind of watch themselves, watch their manners while they were all together. And good. I mean, good for the SEC. Good for college football. I think guys had said enough during the course of the early part of the spring anyway. You know, after the portal stuff got over with and spring ball got over with, guys started to simmer down a little bit, started to understand that this is now recruiting season for a lot of them, and they want to be careful of what they say around people. And I got a funny feeling that the SEC commissioner told guys, chill out. You know, yeah. Kind of under his breath may have made a phone call to a couple coaches and say, hey, listen, we don't need it now.
Yeah, slap him on the wrist a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, just to calm him down some.
Yeah, I think a lot of them kind of got there, said their piece earlier in the week, like you said, and then when it was done, it was done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the focus shifted over to as much dramatics as there was around this time last week. There wasn't a whole lot that really happened from spring meetings. Like there wasn't a whole lot of definitive. We didn't get a lot of definitive answers, right? So, are we going to go to a 2014 playoff? I don't know. You know, what does the – I mean, we know we don't have any cupcake games anymore. Thanks a lot, Greg Sankey. I mean, I guess that's great news for everybody. That's awesome news coming out of spring meetings. I would say this. I think what's interesting to follow along with it, I feel like the – like if we had – like they have in politics, approval ratings or whatever. If we had an approval rating of Greg Sankey, I think it continues to fall, to be honest with you. Because it feels like the Big Ten is sort of bullying the SEC into making some of these decisions. I mean, the whole cupcake Saturday thing. That was the SEC got bullied into doing that.
Yeah.
So I think his approval rating, interestingly enough, because I recall vividly when the announcement was made that Texas and Oklahoma were coming to the SEC, and you know, immediately following that, like Greg Sankey was looked at as like, this dude can do no wrong. He's the commissioner of the best conference in the country. I mean, everything's better when your teams are winning national titles and all that. But yeah, ever since then, it's just like the stock has slowly but surely dropped. And, you know, especially over the last couple of months where it really feels like you're bending the knee to the SEC in a lot of different instances, with the 9-game conference schedule, with the cupcake Saturday thing, you know, talks of the playoff expansion. It just, yeah, I think there's a lot of folks out there that are questioning Greg Sankey's backbone, if I'm being totally honest. So
it doesn't seem like he doesn't have the upper hand because of football, no. What's happened over the last 3 years.
Which is so weird to think that he wouldn't.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. Now I'm really putting you on the spot, CP. Like, I'll be honest, I don't really know how this works. I don't know how conference commissioners are given that job, and I don't know what the process is for getting them out of that job. But, I mean, obviously we're in a very pivotal part in the history of college football trying to figure out what's going on here. Is there a chance maybe these university presidents get together and are like, we don't know if Greg Sankey's the right guy to lead us through what is a very important maybe year, maybe couple of years, maybe couple of months of decisions.
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, BK, because, again, not to get to political in the slightest, but just the structure of things where, like, I'm not sure Greg Sankey isn't more than just a figurehead at this point, where he isn't just more of a puppet. You know, he's essentially doing what the presidents of these universities want. So and probably saying what they want him to say. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think he seems like at this point, yes, sir, no, sir type of guy. So that's probably a guy that you'd like to have at the top where you can kind of tell him to do what you want him to do. I mean, I don't know. Is Nick Saban going to take orders? I don't think so. And not saying that he'd get the job, but I'm just using an example. So I don't know. Maybe. I mean, everybody's got an expiration date, and Sankey's been atop the league for quite a while, so it's going to come. We know that, but yeah, you're right. Though it's, and I tell you that some of the craziest conversations too is them last week talking about and almost threatening the SEC breaking off and doing their own thing. And it's just it's a wild time in college athletics, man. And I've had these conversations with people over the last week or so that, and some may disagree, but I've said it many times that college football has just become less and less and less likable. It's the least likable version of itself that I've ever seen, to a point to where there's a, you know, I think one of the things that's actually helped college baseball this time of year is because people don't want to sit around and talk college football 24/7, 365 the way they used to, because it's not really about the football anymore. It's this time of year, it's about the the playoff. And some of it is very fascinating. Like last week, that was as into it as we've gotten on those conversations, talking about the playoff and the future of the sport. But when you're talking about those things, it seems like every day, every week for like 3 months, it becomes very, very nauseating. You know, when it's like a lot of us just want to get to the ball. A lot of us just want to talk depth charts and schedules and predictions and, you know, all that fun stuff. And it just seems like we talk less football this time of year than we ever have before. So, yeah, the sport's in a weird place. Unfortunately, I think that the 24-team college football playoff is coming. And all we can do is just hold on for dear life. And the toothpaste is out of the tube. There's no going backwards, which is really unfortunate. Like everybody can, you know, we can use all this hot air and complain and moan and whatever.
Right.
But we're not going. We're either going to stay at 12 forever.
We're not backing up. You're right.
We're not going back to 2 or 4 or, you know, probably even 8, which I think 8 could be a great solution. But I don't see us going backwards. But the shame in it all is, again, the people that are in charge of the sport. And this isn't breaking news to y'all or anybody else probably, but they're not doing what's in the best interest of the sport. Nobody's under the illusion that a 24-team playoff is somehow a more efficient process to helping us find a national champion.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that, you know, so.
I think you're right, Chris, on the fact when Sankey talked about we may decide to break away. I think that was where the president said, hey, you know, a couple of years ago, if he said that, people would be really nervous that this thing could really happen. You know, I think that's just wolfing around right now. I think the president's just saying, dude, I don't know if you speak for all of us like you used to. You know, you can say those things, and that may be your own independent thinking there, but that's not how we're thinking. You saying that and getting people kind of in an uproar a little bit about the SEC maybe breaking away, that doesn't hold the water it would 4 or 5 years ago. It just doesn't seem that way. Like you said, I think the presidents are getting more involved. They don't want to be, but – it sounds like maybe they're getting more involved and Sankey's just talking about how he feels. But you just remember 4, 5, 6 years ago when that guy spoke, everybody listened. The Big Ten listened. Everybody in football would probably accept the exception of the Notre Dame AD, you know, but everybody else was listening. And I think now, as you said, I think the presidents are saying, be careful what you say, you know?
And what a terrible look. I mean, I think it's not a great look for the SEC in regards to alignment when you got coaches coming out there saying that, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but essentially saying, like, what I think doesn't matter. Like, I don't know why y'all are even asking me. And I know that y'all probably feel some type of way about Mike Elko, but I applaud Mike Elko for what he said last week. He was the one dude that was really willing to go out there and stand on business and be like, hey, this is what it is and this is what it isn't. And he just kind of laid it all out there for people. And I commend the fact that he had the stones to get up there and just lay it all on the line, you know? So, I mean, it's – you know, he made the point, hey, I want a 40-team playoff. Like, I mean, you know, we all get the incentive or the motive behind it. It's like, hey, man, like, I can't get fired if I make the playoff every year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get why a lot of these coaches want it. You know, coaches and ADs all want it, right? They want the incentive of I'm going to keep my job because my guys continue to make the playoff over and over and over. So, it's just, you know, and I'll tell you guys this just for the sake of the conversation. I played devil's advocate on our show last week, and I've done it multiple times where it's like, well, on the flip side, and I want to make it very clear, I'm not an advocate of the 2014 college football playoff, but on the flip side, I mean, if the bowl games are going to be complete shells of themselves anyways, hey, why don't we go make the Birmingham Bowl matter for something? Maybe at least then it's a, you know what I mean? Like at least then the Birmingham Bowl has some meaning. Now, again, is it going to help us find a national champion when 7-5 Mizzou and 7-5 Virginia play each other, not to like single those two teams out, but is it? No, it's not going to help us, but it might be a better game than if they just played each other like they did last year, like nobody played in the game.
Right.
And maybe guys still opt out. Heck, I don't, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if that happened, but yeah, to play devil's advocate, I'm like, hey guys, at least to me, maybe others don't feel this way. Bowl season is shot. I still love it. And there's like a nostalgia that time of year because it is bowls, but it's, when you watch the product, you're like, this is not what I know and love to be bowl season. So, like, on the other hand, it's like, well, if these games aren't going to matter anyways and teams aren't going to play, heck, we had a team in Notre Dame that just flat out decided not to play. I mean, I guess a bigger playoff makes everybody play, but, again, you just completely water down the product and you water down the regular season. Let's call it what it is.
I don't want to lose the regular season.
and I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts actually on this, because Texas A&M, for example, people were using the Ohio State Michigan example, but like Texas A&M, I would ask y'all, even in a, give me a 64 team playoff. Do you honestly think guys would sit out the Texas or Texas A&M game?
I have a really hard time
yeah. believing that, you know.
I don't think they would. I think it
there's just so much legacy tied up in a game like that, and you completely destroy your legacy if you sit out that game.
100%.
Completely.
Yeah, legacies in college football.
Yeah, do not destroy Saturdays in college football. We're getting to the point of what did that mean?
Buck, that's the only thing keeping college football afloat. Like, I think there's a lot of people out there that think college football is this untouchable thing, and it's we can do whatever we want to the sport, people will still love it. You're right, Buck. If you get to a place where you compromise Saturdays, because right now it's like, hey, we got all this nonsense going on in the offseason, but you know what? Saturdays are still Saturdays. Like, it's still awesome when we get to the season. God forbid you get college football to a place where those Saturdays lose their luster. Now you have really got yourself in a tough spot, because it's never been a better time as a human being to be entertained. We live in the entertainment peak where there's so many other things you can watch or do. Don't spit in the face of the people that tune in and go to your games, and they will find other stuff to do. I'm telling you.
Yes, they will. You start messing with those Saturdays. I mean, that's what makes college football so different. It's Saturdays. It's Saturdays. It doesn't matter, and it really doesn't matter a lot of times who you play. It doesn't have to be crazy rivalries. It's just the deal that you're used to. You've been so used to it. Some things that you're used to doing, you change that on people, and they will change for sure. Like you say, Chris, they'll find a way to change.
Yeah. Any loss used to mean something, right?
Right.
Like you lose one game and you're like, damn, season's over. If you lose twice, it's like, oh, we know what.
And I feel like teams play knowing that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like sometimes I'm like, why? And I'm like, that Ohio State team that went on, I'm like, I feel like they knew they had a gimme. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's making an excuse, but I feel like you can kind of tell, it's like the losses don't hurt as bad because, you know, you don't lose. And then maybe there's some pros to that. You know, you lose a single game and it doesn't wreck your entire season. But yeah, there was something to be said about those games that had no safety net. You knew, hey, like going in the last weekend, if we lose to our rival, our season's over. Like everything we want is gone. And it just, the intensity that it put on that game, we've lost that.
No doubt. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. We'll get you out of this segment with a baseball question, CP. We asked you about Texas, obviously, but we'd love to get your thoughts on kind of what's going on around the SEC. Seven teams from the Southeastern Conference advancing to the Super Regionals. That's five more than any other conference. Or almost 10. The SEC had a chance to get a few more teams to weekend number two. But maybe your biggest storyline or two, you don't need to break down all seven, but your biggest storyline or two from around the conference from what we saw during regional play.
Yeah, from around the conference specifically, I mean, I think you got to start with the two SEC on SEC matchups, right? Auburn, Ole Miss down on the Plains, and then, of course, Georgia, Mississippi State, who Georgia swept State in Starkville earlier this season. That taking place in Athens. Obviously really excited for both of those. I think two of the SEC's best shots at winning the national championship rest in those supers with Auburn and Georgia. And again, that's no disrespect to Ole Miss or Mississippi State, because, I mean, if you want to ask me selfishly, would I love to see Ole Miss and State, those two fan bases in Omaha? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia, Auburn be awesome too. But, I mean, I don't think I have to explain how cool that would be. But, yeah, so the two SEC on SEC are big. Obviously, Texas, you could argue they are the SEC's favorite, or certainly they're the co-favorite right there with Georgia, you know, getting to, you know, see if they can break through, punch their ticket, Schloss and the boys get back to Omaha. I know it hasn't been that long, but I'm sure for the Texas fan base, too, it feels like it's been forever since they've been to Omaha. I think I saw a Texas fan say if they didn't make it this year, it would, like, tie the longest – amount of time they've gone without going to Omaha. So very, very interesting. So anytime Texas is in the mix, of course, to get there, they're a major story. Alabama, I mean, my goodness, they haven't been in forever forever. So, you know, they're interesting. And then, of course, Oklahoma, Kansas, we got a some Big Eight flavor.
Yeah.
In Lawrence. That environment alone will be awesome. I think that's a huge storyline. And can Oklahoma continue the magical run? And, hey, we're sitting here talking about maybe there's an Egg Bowl showdown with Ole Miss and State in Omaha. How about a Texas OU showdown? Let's make that rivalry great on the diamond. So, and then the overarching storyline is just, I mean, the fact that none of the previous eight in Omaha a season ago are even in this tournament anymore that made it to Omaha last year. I think Georgia, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss and Texas. I'm getting mixed up. But either way, we very potentially could have a new national champion, somebody who's never won a national championship in college baseball before. I mean, you look at the left side of the bracket, wildly interesting with West Virginia, Cal Poly, Troy, Little Rock, so we're guaranteed a G5, and then North Carolina, USC. So I'm very curious and hopeful the SEC is going to get, five teams in? Four would be awesome. Three would be disappointing. Two or less would be, we had a disaster super weekend. So, it's been I thought last year was crazy. It has been a nutty tournament. So Omaha is going to look, it's going to look awesome, but it's going to look very weird to a degree. Cause you thought UCLA was going to be there. You thought Georgia Tech was going to be there. And, I would say the story of the supers is just expect chaos. Cause that's been the theme of it so far. And I'm looking at the schedule, going to be making predictions. This is not as easy as just looking on paper and being like, oh, yeah, that team's definitely better than that. No, there's just expect weirdness to take place this weekend.
You know, Chris, and the team that you've talked about before, you know, as this stuff was just starting, is University of North Carolina. That's got to be a pretty good baseball team that people don't say a lot about. You did. You've talked about them where you've liked them from the get-go. Are they realistically – going to be able to do this, get to Omaha and make some waves?
Yeah, and UNC, they've got the whole ACC on their back, right? There's only one ACC team left in this tournament. So, yeah, we don't talk about them as much, of course, because they're in the ACC, but they're definitely, I think if I had to power rank, who would be my favorites to win the national title, it's Georgia and Texas, and then you very well could go to North Carolina next. So, UNC's got all the potential in the world. I think it is interesting. Again, in Omaha, we're only going to have one SEC team on that side of the bracket to fight with the rest of them. So, and then it's obviously – SEC. It's wild to think, guys, just looking at this, we could have one SEC team on one side of the Omaha bracket, and then the entire other side of the bracket could be we're going to be like Hoover all over again. It's actually crazy when you think about it. We could have Georgia or State, Texas, Alabama, and Oklahoma all on one side fighting with each other.
Yeah, of course.
That's just so crazy to me.
Of course, that's the side Texas is on. I wouldn't hate flipping with somebody else,
Yeah, I'm sure you'd hate it if St. John's and Kansas were able to.
I'd love to have that.
But, hey, assuming Texas wins, they're either going to get State or Georgia out the gate. So that'll be an incredible show. I would love, selfishly, give me Texas-Georgia game one. That'd be awesome. I'd love to see that.
Could very well happen. Chris, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate the time. We'll keep an eye out for that Roger Clemens interview. Enjoy the baseball this coming weekend, and we'll chop it up again next week.
Yeah, Buck, BK, you guys are the best. Really appreciate y'all.
Thank you, buddy.
You too.
Yeah, pretty good.
Chris Phillips, SEC Unfiltered, joining us here on Bucky and BK, talking all things college baseball and a little college football in there too, Buck.
Yeah, as I said, the SEC was very quiet at the end of this week, which is good. And I got a feeling, like I said, Commissioner probably said, guys, let's just chill out. I'll handle how many teams are going to be in this. And then, once again, when you start saying, oh, well, we're thinking about leaving, and then the president's probably called him up and said, hey, you need to chill out. Your thoughts aren't what we're all thinking here.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, the SEC does have bylaws that say, you can't bash other SEC schools. And there's been some bashing of other SEC schools from SEC schools this offseason.
Right.
Obviously, Steve Sarkisian has been a part of that. Lane Kiffin's been a part of that. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Greg Sankey's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and then he throws in, we don't have to be here. We may leave. And the president's probably called him up and said, hey, you need to chill out.
I don't know, man.
We're not going anywhere.
It's you get a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of different voices in that room in Destin last week. You got all sorts of differing opinions, and no one was expecting anything to get done last week, and nothing did get done last week. But
and especially when there's a timeline, and that guy still SEC wise has, I think he has enough respect that they're going to look to see what he thinks. And I
there's no timeline. What's the timeline? I mean, it was December 1st, and it is December 1st again. So again, they have to decide on what to do for next year's playoff.
So, in other words, they're going to wait till December, and then we'll do something else different.
Well, last year they didn't. Last year they just didn't come to – everyone's like, December 1st. We'll have an answer by December 1st. And then they're like, nah, we'll just do next December 1st.
I remember Sankey saying we're going to wait till the very end, and then they still didn't do anything.
So it's – I don't know if there's a deadline for this. They can keep kicking the can down the road as long as they want, and – 12 to me better than 16 or 24 or wherever the hell else.
Yeah, but like Chris
go.
Said, we're not going back. We're not going back.
Everybody's
known
that forever, and that's a shame. But it's gonna get to 24. I've already told myself that sucks. But the Saturdays, they're gonna matter a hell of a lot less. You're still gonna care. People are still gonna watch. I'm not worried about that. Maybe as much as you and Chris were based on that conversation.
Yeah,
but
I just don't want. I don't want to lose. I want Saturday.
You're not gonna lose Saturday. There's still gonna be 100,000 people at DKR every weekend. There's still gonna be crazy TV ratings. Like, people are gonna care. But there's no argument that can be made that the games matter as much when now you're potentially able to lose four of them and still win the national championship. Like, no one's going to think an 8-4 team can win it all, but technically an 8-4 team is going to
Going to have a chance.
They're going to be in the same tournament that a 12-0 team is
BK, don't get me to 7-5. Please don't ever get to that point.
I don't know if 24 is enough to go 7-5, but there will be years where there are people arguing that this 7-5 team's resume was better than this 8-4 team, so they should be in. It's coming. It's coming because everyone only cares about lining their pockets with money. They don't care about what's best for the sport. They care about what's going to make us the most money. And that's why everything's going down the way that it is.
Yeah, I just, you know, for years and years and years, we knew who was going to be, you know, who was going to be 1, 2, or 3, who was going to have a real legitimate chance of winning a national championship. Yeah. These 7-5s, they're not going to have a chance. They're going to get a chance, but they're not going to have a chance.
I'm with you. I mean, hell, there's 11-1 and 12-0 teams that you feel like don't have a chance. Any of these G6 teams that get in.
Talking about the two lanes of the world forever now. You're right.
Right. And I understand people are concerned. Like Rob says, I doubt the TV ratings will be as good as they would like. Look, whether you like it or not, college football is turning into the NFL. It won't ever be exactly the NFL, and that's a good thing. But in the NFL's regular season, you can lose 7 games in the NFL playoffs.
And people are turning it on and watching.
Their ratings are still insane, and they're getting better every single year.
You're right.
You could slip up a bunch in the NFL and still get in. So I don't think the TV ratings are going to go down.
So
I
you
really
think
don't.
College football fans will change just like when change comes, they're going to change just like
– I don't know. That's what you and Chris were saying. Yeah, I think the interest in the sport is still going to be incredibly high, and the argument against it – again, I'll go on the record. I don't want the playoff to expand anymore, but all of a sudden, there are more teams involved. There are more fan bases invested because they feel like their team has a chance. Back when it was the BCS, it's like two teams. It's like, well, you lose one game, you might be done. You lose two. All right. Now, it's you lose three. All right.
If you and I to do this business, hell, you'd love to have more. We can talk about everybody. You know,
I don't want more.
You don't want to talk to Kutztown? You don't want to talk about Kutztown and Moravian?
I'm going to go on the record and say I do not.
You want to talk about Lehigh?
Like mathematically speaking, there will be more fan bases who are invested Patriots.
Yeah. The Crusaders, yes. The Worcesters, holy crap. You want them to have a chance?
Now, they're not Division One, I believe. So no, they would not have a chance to get in. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Don't forget, we are giving away a free twosome at Lake Cliff Golf Club. Your chance to win a free round of golf with a buddy, with your significant other, with whoever the heck you want. All you have to do is send us a text on the Coda text line, 512-222-9328. The randomizer will be out.
You can spend a day with her playing golf. Glad it's you. I'm glad. Yeah, you will love it and enjoy it.
Who's her?
Wife, friend.
My wife? I don't have a wife. Your wife? You're auctioning off your wife for this round of golf?
My wife wouldn't make it out here for three holes without saying, where's the car? Which direction do I go to?
It's too hot.
I'll walk back.
Get me out of here, please. Yeah,
get me out of here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't like playing golf with ladies. You're on the record saying that, which I think is very disrespectful, sir.
Yeah, well, they just need to play faster. Or there are other places. There's bowling. Indoors, air conditioning. Why not? Why not take up that for a sport?
Come on. Send the women to the lanes.
Yeah.
Let the men hit the lanes.
I see Serena's coming back to play some more tennis at 40. Is she 44 years old?
Apparently, Serena Williams is trying to make a comeback.
Why?
Well, she's seeing all the upsets in the French Open right now.
She's going, like, I can do that.
I may be better than some of these fools.
My goodness.
Serena Williams, 44. She'll turn 45 in September. She is now a mother of children.
Yeah, I think she has two kids now. Yeah.
And she is thinking about getting back in.
I should be applauding that.
Yeah, why not? Why are you against that?
I'm not against that.
We love to see people defy Father Time, the Tom Brady's of the world.
Yeah, I guess you could give it a try. You know when it's time to really, really quit.
Yeah.
Like when you quit before. Like when she's already retired. That was the time to quit. Why are you coming back?
Oh, she's Aaron Rodgers. She's George Strait. Multiple farewell tours, I guess. I don't know. That's a big
making
headline.
Me think you don't like your kids.
That's, well.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The irony.
Think about
school
that.
School just got out, and all of a sudden, I got to get back to work.
That.
I can't be hanging out with them.
I don't want to be hanging out with these kids. I'd rather go play tennis.
By the way, to give some love to the ladies out there, I saw this story, and our guy Patrick just commented this, too. The pitcher Texas beat in the Nebraska game in the Women's College World Series, Jordy Fromm is her name, All-American. She's mm-hmm. been one of the best players in college softball for multiple years. She's the leadoff hitter as well. She's the one who hit the home run off of Tegan Kavan to start the game, and Nebraska had the lead for most of it. She just announced that she's pregnant. She played in the Women's College World Series with child.
Sweet.
How crazy is that?
That's how you get after it right there.
That's some impressive stuff right there.
And you told me about the young lady Williams.
The Mia Williams, who hit the walk-off for Texas Tech, who Texas will see the next few days. The daughter of White Chocolate.
Wow.
Jason Williams, longtime NBA point guard. Yeah. So shout out to the ladies, man.
Getting it done.
Getting it done.
Yes, indeed.
With child or already mothers of children.
Mothers of children and with child.
That's
very
one,
nice.
That's one thing that none of the dudes have done.
No, not yet.
Yeah, yet. There's still time, I suppose. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. Got some college football conversation to get to. Where does Steve Sarkisian rank amongst the best coaches in America? Plus, we've got the BBK news as well before we get out of here. But before anything else, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
Southern Friends at Hat Creek Burger Company. I'm not going to get a chance to have that double today, BK. I'm out here, so I did have a nice breakfast. But, folks, you can have that Hat Creek Burger Company anytime you please. As a matter of fact, founded in 2008 right here in Austin, Texas, serving up burgers, fries, and shakes. Hat Creek Burger is always a place where you'll find good food, good folks, and good fun. It's just that simple. Over 30 locations in the state of Texas, and they're proud to be a place where you can come in hungry and leave full and fulfilled. Love Hat Creek Burger Day. I know folks love it for mom and dad when they have a hard day at work and they want to take the kids to get a burger. Dad doesn't want to make burgers or mom doesn't want to make burgers, but they can take you over there where they have the playscape. You can enjoy it. And mom and dad can explore. How about this? Nice margarita while they watch the kids. Get off the playscape, mom and dad. Let the kids do that. You enjoy your margarita. You can have that at Hat Creek Burger. Love their shakes.
Oh,
best
yeah.
shakes around at Hat Creek Burger Company.
Agreed.
I'm missing out today on my Hat Creek Burger. Generally, I'll have that before I play a round of golf. But you can have that during the weekend, the weekday. Enjoy it just like the buck at Hat Creek Burger Company.
Did you bring your early bird CBD?
I did. I'm going to have a couple of drops before I play today.
There we go. Love the early bird CBD. The buck and I are hooked on their products. It's a local Austin company that makes products designed to make you feel good. Who doesn't like feeling good? Whether it's some pain alleviation, whether it's taking the edge off at the end of a long day of work, you just want to chill out with friends, with family, with whoever. Early Bird CBD has something for you. The drops, you heard the buck mention them. Just drop a couple in your favorite drink, whether it's a juice, whether it's a tonic, whether it's an alcoholic beverage, whatever, and you're going to get tons of great effects of CBD, but also a microdose of THC as well. So unlike some of the other CBD products that maybe you've tried in the past. This stuff is legit, and you can actually feel the difference. Earlybirdcbd.com, they've got great gummies too, three different flavors that are fantastic. Earlybirdcbd.com, use the promo code Bucky, and you're going to get 20% off your first order from our friends at Early Bird CBD.
And they are local, correct, BK?
They local are local. Group? Awesome that's company. Awesome. Yep, we love supporting local. That's what we're all about, and that's what Early Bird's all about. That's what Qualis Roofing's all about, too.
Yes, indeed.
Speaking of local, they are local here to Central Texas, and they are the best roofers in Central Texas. We've had some crazy weather over the last couple of weeks. We might be getting some more crazy weather as this week goes along. You want to make sure that your roof is good to go for the next round of storms. I say it all the time. It's not just hail that impacts your roof. High winds, flying debris that you don't see, rain, all of those things can hurt your roof. You're supposed to get this thing inspected twice a year. Qualis is like, all right, we love you. We don't love you that much. Get us out to your place once a year. We'll come by for free. We'll even buy you a Longhorns t-shirt just for having us out. We'll check if your roof's okay. If it is, great. If not, hey, we don't want your money. We want the insurance company's money. We'll help you file a claim to get your roof taken care of. Do it before a leak springs and all of a sudden you need a major, major fix. Qualis is there for you every step of the way. Tons of five-star reviews online. A-plus rated by the BBB. Nobody does it better. QualisGC.com. That's their website. That's QualisGC.com. Or give them a call, 512-257-0033.
Of course, we've talked about Woods Comfort Systems for the last 4 years. Folks, they've been doing it for 70 years in Central Texas. Heating, air conditioning, and now trust them to your plumbing, indoor or outdoor. They can get it done. Their technicians will get out, and they get there on time. As I told you the other day, I had a time that said between 12 and 6. Dudes were out there by 1:30.
Come on.
Didn't take them very long to get out there. They got the service done. My air conditioning is working properly the way it's supposed to. They noticed that I had changed the filter, so I didn't get keep your hands off of stuff. They said that's good. Arrows pointing in the right direction, Buck. Even you can do that part. But other than that, anything to do with wires, leave it up to us. 70 years in Central Texas, nobody does it better than the folks at Woods Comfort Systems.
WoodsComfortSystems.com is their website, 512-842-5066, the number to call, and Google them. As Kurt Cignetti says,
absolutely.
Their reviews online are absolutely insane. Nobody does it better than Woods Comfort Systems. All right. Should we go BBK news here? Should we save the coaching rankings for tomorrow?
Let's do the coaching rankings tomorrow, yes.
Okay. Sorry about that, boys and girls. We'll save the...
You truly were teased.
CBS Sports ranking of the top coaches in college football for tomorrow's show. We'll let you know where Steve Sarkisian landed on that list. And, you know, we might have a special guest.
We have time.
Kyle wants to come on here.
Kyle, come on here real
minutes.
Quick. Talk to us
this,
a little
this
bit.
This is more important. And then we'll get to a story of a casket falling out of... or a body falling out of a casket at a funeral recently. No,
coming out like...
Yeah, with like at the funeral. You know,
well, maybe Kyle's not that important.
We'll get
this
to that
one sounds
later.
Good.
Kyle Edwards joining us here. Other way, sir. You're a golf pro. You're not a radio pro. We'll get
there
you.
Go.
We'll get you
right
up there.
There, nice and close.
Kyle from the Academy of Golf Dynamics is with us. What's going on, sir?
Not a lot. We're just doing a golf school down here at the Academy, and always love.
Bring that mic closer to your face. There we go. I want everyone to hear you. Well, appreciate that. Okay, so I've been singing the praises of the Academy for a while now. You guys have turned me in from the worst golfer of all time to someone who's pretty respectable on the course. Talk a little bit about the Academy, kind of what you guys offer and what y'all could do for golfers in Central Texas who are trying to elevate their game a little bit.
So we do three-day golf schools. We've been around since the early 80s from Bill Moretti. We came from the hills, and we're here at Lake Cliff Golf Club now, which we just love. Our three-day class kind of consists of working on technique day one. Then we get you out on the golf course the next 2 days, kind of trying to get the training to move more from the range out to the golf course. Work with all skill levels from junior golf to adults. We've got some kids in the high school ranks that are kind of moving on to the college, and it's just one of those fun things that people come out and see us for 3 days, and it works a little bit better that way versus having just kind of your tune-ups.
Yeah, I mean, the fundamentals of this game are, you know, the grip and everything else. You know, there's so many people that just start out golf and they have their own grip, and you guys will teach them really proper grips, you know, size of hands, everything else. All that stuff matters. I think people just think it's let's make contact with the ball. we'll figure it out from that point on. Just some of the little nuances that you guys have been doing. I remember when you were at the Hills. I mean, there were people coming from all over America, and now they know where you are now. It sounds like they're getting to find you right out here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're doing a school right now where it's funny you mentioned it with the grips. We did 3 grip changes first thing, and it's kind of the heartbeat of the swing. So if it's off, it generally develops kind of poor mechanics with the swing. So that's kind of our number one thing. And really, if you can get that on there correct, then the proper mechanics start to develop after that.
It's pretty crazy how quick these guys can work through. I was having major issues with my driver, and I go out there, and Kyle and Nick are just like, here, just do this. It was a grip change. It was a little minor grip change that they did. And within 5 minutes, I kid you not, I was hitting the best drives of my life. Like that's what, you know, some people hear, and look, you can go out there and see these guys as much as you want, but you go to one of these 3-day schools, your game is instantly going to be so much better with what they do. And that's why every year y'all are top 25 golf school in the country.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's been kind of an honor. I've got 2 partners, Ryan Cromwell and Nicholas. And fun part about it is we've been working for the golf school since 2005, 2006.
How about that?
You know, and we've kind of got our chance to take over as owners last year. Dave and Lori have been great with us here at Lake Cliff, and just really honored to kind of keep the tradition from what Bill Moretti had started.
Yeah,
I remember Moretti. How are you with simulators? Do you guys have simulators also out here?
We do. You know, it's, I won't lie, it's gotten a little hot today. So this afternoon, we're going to have our group inside. We've got an indoor area where the building's got a putting green and a simulator. We use Garmin technology, and then we've also got some speed training stuff that we've been working on with the stack system, which is kind of fun. But, you know, it's always about 72 degrees inside.
Love that. Well, Kyle, before we let you go, just for folks who are looking to find y'all, what's the best way to get in contact with you and with the Academy?
Absolutely. You can find us on our website. It's the info, theacademyofgolftx.com. You can always find us on that site. We're also, like say, you call us 512-261-3300. And then also here at Lake Cliff.
Yeah. Come on out and see these guys, the Academy of Golf Dynamics. They will help your game. Thanks for coming by and saying, we put you on the spot. I don't know if you were told that you were going to come on the show.
Not at all.
Gosh. I texted your boy Nick saying, hey, if one of y'all wants to come interview with us, and of course, him being the good friend that he is, he just totally left you out to dry.
That's all good.
Amazing. Well, thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us, man.
I'll probably see you in a couple of hours, honestly, after my round today. There he goes, Kyle Edwards, the Academy of Golf Dynamics. Again, for all you Central Texans, or regardless of where you're tuned in from, again, like you said, Buck, people from all over the freaking
from Maine.
It's crazy. Last time I was here getting some work on my game, there were people from Maine and Boston and Colorado. I mean, these guys are so well respected, and rightfully so, that people literally plan trips around this place. So if you are a serious golfer, if you're trying to be a serious golfer, and they work with kids too, it's pretty humbling. I'm hitting drives next to these like middle and high school
kids. And
they're
slamming it, huh?
And oh my God, it's like, geez, dude.
Yeah.
I got to play at the ladies' tees when I'm playing against you guys. Love the Academy out here at Lake Cliff.
How's the randomizer? Is the randomizer getting cranked up too?
It's getting cranked up. It's warming up a little bit. But before we give away that twosome of golf here at Lake Cliff Golf Club, we've got to hit the BBK news here today.
Here we go.
Got footage of a story in Guyana of a corpse falling out of its casket while being carried by pallbearers to its resting place.
Get over here because I'm seeing this no matter what.
I got to get the video here.
If you got the video,
I don't have
it yet.
But here is let me screen share this picture to at least show everybody what we're talking about. So this is a funeral that was going on. Again, normal, standard funeral stuff where pallbearers, there's like 6 of them.
Okay.
They are carrying this casket, and, well, the bottom of the casket fell out, and a body, dead. I guess you prefer to be dead and not alive.
Yeah, I do. When you're in a casket, I prefer to be dead.
But literally a dead guy fell out of the bottom of the casket. Have you ever experienced that before?
No, the only thing with the casket I experienced was when my grandmother passed away, and there was a letter that my kids had to my grandmother and they wanted that to go into the casket with her. And I forgot it at the hotel, BK. And I left the church and just drove back to my hotel. I mean, I was flying. And I came running down the aisle just before they shut the casket. I flipped it in, popped my grandmother with the note from my kids, and then they shut it down. Because it took me a while to get there and back. I said, you've got to hold this open. I got a very important letter from my kids to go to their grandmother. And so I got it in there on the fly. I mean, I'm running down the aisles of the church just to do that. That's as close as I got.
How about that?
Sorry about that, Grammy.
So you were able to get it in there.
Got it there.
Right before she died.
I didn't knock the casket over and knock Grandma onto the ground, no.
Okay. That's a good move right there. Yeah, I'm having trouble. I might have to find the video for tomorrow. I didn't originally find it. Now apparently there is one. So we'll have more details and more video here. But apparently mourners at the ceremony, I mean, everyone screamed in horror, understandably so. The casket bearers scrambled to put the body inside. So you got to touch your dead buddy here.
No.
To try to get him back in the casket.
Lots of things going on in Africa, like Ebola. I don't like grabbing anybody.
Oh, this is South America, so okay. Nice of you to.
Close.
I mean, there's only 7 continents, so I guess close. You did guess a continent.
There you go, I did.
So I'll give you credit for that. But I don't know how close we're talking here. What do you do? Yeah. God forbid, one of your boys, his time comes, funeral,
yep.
You're asked to be a pallbearer, you're maybe carrying the casket a little bit, all of a sudden the bottom falls out.
And dude rolls out?
Dead buddy rolls out on the ground. Are you leaving him there? You picking him up?
I'm going to say, anybody kinfolk to this dude, I'm just a friend, I'm not touching him. You guys are kin, your blood, come and pick him up. Oh, he's got no blood in him, but go ahead, just pick him up and throw him back in.
But it's broken. But you like flip the casket over and just put him that way?
And I mean, it's going into the ground. They're going to throw a bunch of dirt on it anyway.
Right. Well, it's supposed to stay in that wooden box, though. You're just going to turn it into like a mob movie and just kick him into the hole that's
if I have to, buried yeah.
and throw Where, some dirt on
like,
him?
Where's the hole at? Oh, it's over there. Okay, just
roll him over.
Hold him up right there. Move the casket off, and we'll just slide him over. All 6 guys would just grab a hold of the arms and legs and just slide them in the hole.
Yeah, one man was directing traffic. A couple of others were ordering to move the coffin to stop it from crushing the body even more.
The body's dead. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Well, no pain, no gain.
You don't want a crushed body right there. How does this happen? We think like ants maybe got there, like decomposers got there too quick. Do we think it was like a cardboard bottom? Have we cheaped out that much?
It was a cheap coffin.
That's a thing. Body yeah. falls out. Yeah, yeah. No, if that happens to
cardboard.
One of my, if that happens to one of my buddies, I'm just all right.
Just kicking him over.
Nobody look. We're rolling him in there.
Roll him in the hole, right?
Roll him in the hole.
Oh, this happened right there because this was at the site, right?
It's at the site. Oh, yeah. He's just getting out of the hearse. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the hearse. That's definitely BK. I know he's probably got his best suit on. Just grab him by the collar or whatever and slide him over. And just roll him in the hole.
What if he's far away though? And you can't.
I don't want body parts falling as I'm sliding one of my buddies over. But I'm not going to. I don't even have to put him back in the casket. Just take this cardboard away. I'll just dump him in the hole and throw some dirt on him. That's the way he wanted it to be. That's what I would say.
You don't. Yeah, I talked to him a couple minutes ago.
Right,
and that's what he said. This is all part of his bit. You don't, like, postpone the funeral maybe?
No.
Let's get this guy a proper casket so he has a proper burial
no.
in front
the
of all
the day is the day. That was the date. That's the day he's going in the hole.
How big was this guy?
Oh, no. He's going in the hole. And by the way, this funeral ceremony, you know, this cost, this is a halfer right here.
Yeah, you're probably suing the casket company,
no,
just, right?
No, but I'm not paying full scale for it. That's for sure.
No, that's tough. Maybe this will be what Mike Elko's looks like.
My goodness.
All right, sorry. There's no need.
Putting him in
that.
An SUV and into the ground?
Yeah. So there it is right here. Again, I'll try to find the video and have it for y'all tomorrow.
Was the body out? Did they show it on the video?
Yeah. You see the body right there in this picture. It's on the ground.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
You crumble up pretty easy once you've been, you know, once they take all those parts out and stuff, you know.
Once you die, you're dead? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've got some of my stuff that's supposed to go to, you know, my eyes and things like that. Got that on the back of my license.
Organ donor?
I'm an organ donor. Mm. So you don't get to play with my organ.
That's good.
It's gone.
I wasn't planning on doing so.
Just in case you thought you could have my organ.
Is that why you're donating it? So somebody else can play with it in the afterlife? Is that your bit right there, sir?
It's one of my bits.
That's an interesting one. All right, real quick bit of sound here. you know, Women's College World Series is going on. We're in a baseball mood with both tournaments happening, with baseball and softball. This is a game, or from a game, between Arkansas and Nebraska late last week. Obviously, both of those teams are now eliminated. Can't show the video here due to copyright rules, but we can play the audio, and that's all we need.
We've had some audio before.
This is it's not a field mic moment. This is Nebraska's pitching. It's a called strike three by the home plate umpire. I'm going to play the sound of the ump strike three call, and I'll just tell you right now that, like, if I'm batting and an ump brings me up like this, we're going to have some words.
Yes.
I might get ejected here. Here's the sound.
The bell is frozen here as prompt.
One more time.
The bell is frozen here as prompt.
Did that dude just say strike two? I mean, yelling it out like that?
It was a strike three call.
I don't know, was that three?
It sounds like one of those little, like, rubber chickens that you squeeze together and it makes that super high-pitched sound.
What is that dude?
Bell is frozen here as prompt.
No, I'm going to turn around and say something. Yeah, like, that's not necessary.
You're showing me up here. This is an ump show. That's like call a strike three the way that normal people call a strike three here.
And I'm already out. You're about to be out.
Yeah, I'm about to swing the bat your way.
Bell is frozen here as prompt.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I think there was a guy too on the.
That's embarrassing.
On the call, I didn't like that one at all. So yeah, there'd be words if I was in the batter's box for that situation. Real quick before we wrap up from Lake Cliff, why today's not so bad. On this day in 1835, P.T. Barnum's first tour. The legendary showman and businessman Phineas Taylor Barnum began his very first tour of the United States with his Grand Circus, laying the foundation for modern American
entertainment. Barnum and Bailey Circus. And I had gone to numerous of those in Greensboro, North Carolina. Every year I'd go to Barnum and Bailey Circus. I went for years, BK. There were years where I didn't miss that thing when I grew up a little black kid in North Carolina in Greensboro. Didn't miss the circus.
Did you like the circus?
I love the circus.
I love
Ringling Brothers was the best, especially with the lions.
That was your favorite
bit? That was my favorite bit because I was always ready for them to get loose on somebody.
Did that ever happen?
No, but okay.
You were rooting for it. You wanted blood.
Yes, I loved the circus.
I've never. What else is there? The lions, you got
the flying trapeze. It was always good.
Monkeys, elephants doing some
all
stuff.
All that good stuff. The elephants. I always wanted to see if the elephants were going to break loose. PETA put an end to all that madness.
I don't know if I've ever. Circus is still going on, no?
No, I don't think so. Really? You know, Frank Irwin Center used to have the circus. They used to march. Okay. They used to march through the streets with the elephants, as a matter of fact. It was that long ago. I've been here for over 30 years now. So it was, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but the circus. They don't have Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus any longer that would come to the Frank Irwin Center. First of all, they don't have a Frank Irwin Center.
No, that place is gone.
And they haven't had it at the Moody Theater. I used to go to that. I used to go, guess what? Holiday on Ice, figure skating. I used to never miss that.
The circus is still around, sir.
What?
Apparently, they took a hiatus from 2017 to 2023, but it's very different. They no longer have animals. Like you said, PETA got its way.
Who the hell wants to go to a circus without animals?
No clowns, no ringmasters.
No clowns?
No animals. All right. Yeah, the circus might as well be dead. I never had interest going. I don't think I've ever been. Maybe I went when I was real young and just don't remember it, but it never appealed.
Yeah, those are my cotton candy days when I'd eat cotton candy at the circus.
There you go.
I love the circus.
Another quick anniversary, 2004, Ken Jennings, a software engineer from Salt Lake City, won his very first game on Jeopardy, marked the beginning of an unprecedented 74-game winning streak.
Wow.
He's now the host of that program. Happy birthday to Grandmama Larry Johnson, number one overall pick of the 1991 NBA draft, 57 years old. Freddie Adu. He was supposed to be like the next great.
Never was.
Supposed to be like Michael Jordan of soccer.
Never happened.
Ended up being the Michael Owell of candy of soccer.
Yes.
Al Horford is 40. Dana Carvey, 71. Wayne Brady, 54.
Wayne Brady.
Born on this day, now dead. The disease guy, Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
The Iron Horse. Oh, that was his nickname, not disease guy.
No.
I got that one wrong. The Iron Horse passed away on his birthday in 1941.
I didn't realize that. On his birthday?
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's like they knew it was coming. He had Lou Gehrig's disease and died from that.
On his birthday.
I knew it was coming. There you go. And Martha Washington, First Lady of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Watts, drummer of the Rolling Stones for a long time, born on this day, now dead. And today's National Leave the Office Early Day, which is any day in Austin, Texas,
yeah, no
USA,
kidding.
America.
We know for sure Fridays is don't even go into work on Friday.
Don't even go in. Well, we're leaving the office right now.
Absolutely, man.
Let's bring out the randomizer real quick, though. We've got a pair. I guess a pair of golf.
Yeah, golf for two.
Golf for two. That's probably how most people describe it. We're giving away a free twosome out at Lake Cliff Golf Club. Thanks to everybody for tuning in today. The winner, a 737 number on the Coda text line, 2727.
There you go.
Who texted at 9:36, good job, guys.
That's hey, that's fine.
We tell you, any text enters you to win.
That'll work right there,
good
brother.
Job. Well, good job to you, sir or ma'am, for texting in. We'll reach out to you and get you a certificate, so I'll have to drop this by or mail it to you or something. But call for two at Lake Cliff. Shout out to Lake Cliff for having us.
What a gorgeous place.
Gorgeous place. Gorgeous place here. And they got summer camps going on for the kiddos, golf and tennis. They got the pool out here, the Academy of Golf Dynamics to go work on your game, or at the 19th Hole Grill. I think you can just come here and get a meal if you
absolutely
want.
Absolutely. They do a great job here. Food is fantastic.
It's fantastic. I'm probably going to eat right before our round here. So shout out to Lake Cliff for having us out. Shout out to all of you people for tuning in. Y'all enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and the Buck and I will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Hug 'em.
Hug 'em.